I'll read 39 through 45 of Luke chapter 1, and I read this passage in Jesus' name. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And we'll read the last few verses in just a little bit. Let us bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, as we think about Christmas, as we think about all the preparations that went on and how you directed all those things, we give you thanks and praise. Lord, we know that even for our own families, preparing for Christmas can seem chaotic. Yet you worked in the Roman Empire and made all the preparations and all the arrangements that had to be made. And Lord, we do give thanks for the gift of your Son. We thank you that by faith in Jesus, we can be assured that our sins are forgiven. We can be assured of a home in heaven. We can be assured of peace with you. We ask your blessing now upon each one of us as we meditate on your word this morning. Lord, be our teacher and our guide. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My introduction, I usually don't warn you in advance, but my introduction will be a little bit longer than normal. And logically, you could say that would mean the rest of the sermon would be shorter than normal. I'm not going to make that promise, okay? But I'll do my best. As we look, and we didn't read this passage, but the context before, or earlier in chapter 1, we have Zechariah, and we have Mary. And the angel Gabriel came to each of them and revealed to them something special about God's will and God's plan and what was going to be happening. And let me just do a little bit of compare and contrast to set the stage for us. How are they similar? How are they different? And I know those who go to college sometimes think, well, don't learn anything that's of value. It's one of the things I learned in my English class, compare and contrast. Not just compare, but show what's similar, show what's different. And so I'm going to try and do my English professor proud here today. But with Zechariah, we have the same angel, the angel Gabriel. Not just your common, average, everyday angel, but a very special angel that God used in certain situations. We also read that Zechariah was a priest. He was offering worship on a regular basis in the temple, and they would take their turns. And so he was a priest to God. He served in the temple. He heard God's word. He heard God's word. Do you remember how he responded, though? He questioned how could that be? How could that be? He and his wife would give birth to a son, John the Baptist, who would prepare the way for the Lord. And his reaction, his response, this man who had heard God's word for so many years, questioned it, was skeptical. Again, I'm not blaming him. I'm not saying it would be an easy thing to hear and believe. But yet his message, the message that he was given, would have been much easier to receive than what Mary had heard. He doubted, "How shall I know for certain? How shall I know this for certain? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years." And because of his doubting, because of his questioning of the word of God, he remained silent until John was born. And remember, after John was born, he was given a tablet to write on. What will his name be? And Elizabeth said, "His name will be John." "You don't have any relatives named John. Why would you pick that name?" So they said, "Zechariah, what shall his name be?" "His name shall be John." And from that point on, he could speak again. Mary had the same angel appear to her. Based on the gifts that were given in the temple at the time of Jesus' birth, she was of humble origins. They were not a wealthy couple. She was told that she found God's favor, God's grace. Not that she earned it, not that she did anything to deserve it, but she found God's favor. She also heard God's word. She heard the message that she would give birth to the Messiah. Imagine hearing that message from an angel. And not only that, she knew that the relationship between her and her husband-to-be had been a pure relationship. And the text states that three times it clearly states that she was a virgin. So imagine hearing the message, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, will overshadow you, and you'll conceive. And for Mary to hear all that, for Mary to know about her behavior with her betrothed, to hear that she would give birth to the Messiah. And she called herself the bond slave of the Lord. Just a humble, trusting response to the Lord's promise. Again, her message, so much harder to believe, so much harder to accept. But she heard the word and received it in faith and in humility. She received it with these words, "Be it done to me according to your word. Be it done to me according to your word." As we go on, starting in verses 39 and 40, we see Mary's visit and the greeting to Elizabeth. There was a journey, of course. Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. Of course, you don't just hop in your car and cruise on over to Medford. A little bit harder than that. It was an effort. She greets Elizabeth. She enters the home of Zechariah and Elizabeth and greeted Elizabeth. And then we see Elizabeth's response to Mary. Elizabeth heard. She heard Mary's greeting. And the greeting, one commentator, explained that the greeting that is mentioned here would be words and an embrace included, a very, very huggy type of culture, very showing forth the emotions, not just, well, hi, good to see you. Yeah, good to see you too. It's an embrace. It's warm words, a warm greeting. And we see that Elizabeth knew that the baby in her womb leaped. And the interpretation comes later. She explains what happened. But we read that the baby in her womb, the baby, the word brephos, refers to either a recently born or an unborn baby. We read that she was filled with the Holy Spirit. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. And Luke especially focuses on the work of the Holy Spirit. As she was filled with the Holy Spirit, she also exclaimed with enthusiasm. We read in a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." She was filled with God's Holy Spirit. She was excited that Mary came to visit her. She was aware of what was going on, not only in her own life and body, but in Mary's life and body as well. She understood the prediction and the prophecy given about the Messiah. And noticed her humility here. As she showed her humility, she was humbled. But why am I so favored? Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come and visit me? And the word Lord is the word kurios. Oftentimes in the Old Testament, the Greek translation of the Old Testament scriptures was called the Septuagint. And the word kurios was the word used to translate the divine name Yahweh. And here it's used to speak of Jesus. Mary, of course, we recognize from Scripture that she was the mother of Jesus according to his human nature, but not according to his divine nature. Okay, and let me make the distinction again. She was given a special gift. She could be the mother of the Messiah. But what she contributed was that she gave birth to Jesus according to his human nature. But she's not the mother of Jesus according to his divine nature. And I don't often make that the separation between his divine and human nature. But in this case, I think it's important. And the reason is because we have some, maybe in our lives, certainly some in our communities, that will say this about Mary. And some of these things in the Hail Mary, some of these things are fine things. But some of these things go beyond Scripture, and therefore we avoid saying this. So I'm saying it not to say it, but to highlight what some of the concerns would be. Hail Mary, full of grace. Again, we focus on what God did for Mary, not something that Mary did of herself. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. And then this especially is troublesome. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The Bible tells us there's one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. We lived as a family in both Brazil and Portugal, both countries, very strong Roman Catholic influence. And we made a journey, not a pilgrimage. There's a difference. But we stopped at a city called Fatima in Portugal, where when Pope John Paul came to speak, he was there two times. We saw the area where he was, the stone chair, almost like a throne that he sat on when he gave his messages. And we saw the beautiful building dedicated to Mary. And the crowned, the gold crowned top that you could see, especially as the sun would shine off of it. And to go and see, again, see, not participate, but to see. People would light, purchase candles and put them in what was called the eternal flame and a fire, kind of a fire pit that kept burning again and again. And the idea, someone explained, was you light a candle and put it in there kind of as a prayer on behalf of someone else. And the sign said, please give only one candle, burn only one candle, and give the other money to the poor. But you saw people with handfuls of those candles, hoping that by doing that, Mary might respond to them in some way. Then there was another sign that I thought was ironic. It was a quote from Jesus. So Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And I saw so many people that were caught up in superstition. A pregnant lady on her knees doing penance, hoping to earn forgiveness, earn God's favor. And we see in Jesus that favor was accomplished for us. We don't pray to Mary. She is not our intercessor. We have access to Jesus, who is the mediator between God and man. We see about the Lord Jesus in Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. And then also in Mark chapter 12, David himself said in the Holy Spirit, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies beneath your feet. Picture of Jesus, not a mere man, but God in the flesh. As we go on, we see John's response to Jesus. And this is not the main focus of the text, but I think it's important as we live in a culture that oftentimes is anti-life. When we confess in the Apostles' Creed, Jesus conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. His human life began at that conception, with John and Jesus both each in their mother's wombs. There's life that's recognized. And we see John's response to Jesus here. We see also Elizabeth stated that she was filled with the Holy Spirit. She said her baby leaped in her womb. And here she gives the interpretation of what that meant. As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, she said, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. The Holy Spirit gave her that insight, gave her that awareness of what was going on. John leaped for joy to be in the presence of Jesus. How amazing is that? Bible tells us about John the Baptizer. He will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. Basically, it was the vow of the Nazarite. No wine, no alcohol, not even grapes or raisins. And John was filled with the Holy Spirit even while in his mother's womb. And then I'll read this. I'll make a few comments about it. I won't spend a lot of time with this because this could be a sermon in and of itself. But let me read how Mary expresses her faith in the Magnificat. And that's, of course, a Latin word with the beginning of this phrase. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Holy One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. We have here just an amazing going back to the Old Testament scriptures, using the imagery and the picture of God giving victory to his people, God defeating the enemies of his people, God giving his son in fulfillment to the Old Testament prophecies about him. Remember in the last chapter of Luke, after Jesus' resurrection, he began teaching from Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, and he showed them all the things concerning himself that had to take place. And here Mary understood so many of those promises. She had been studying. She had been listening to God's word. And she believed God's word even when that portion of God's word was difficult to believe. That she, being a virgin, yet would conceive and give birth to the Messiah. Mary believed God's word. Mary believed God's promises. She received God's word. And her prayer was, be it done to me according to your word. My challenge for each one of us, are we hearing God's word? Are we believing God's precious promises, especially pertaining to his son? And the forgiveness of sins through faith in his son, through Jesus the Messiah. Are we in humility, acknowledging, I don't deserve God's favor? But God is merciful. And that along with Mary, we can magnify the Lord. We can rejoice in God our salvation. Amen.